Well, good evening, everyone.
Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour, and God has an assignment for us on tonight. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to go before God's people. I thank God for the opportunity, and I thank God for each and every one of you that took time out of your busy schedule to come together so that we could explore the word of God together. As always, I pray that you had a good week. I pray that the things that you asked of God, he did deliver. And I pray that you understand that God is in control and he's going to work it out for your good. Well, the title of our lesson tonight is Where God Guides, He Also Provides. You have to understand that, and you have to realize that so you can truly be thankful for what God is doing and promised to do in your life. Well, as always, our lesson tonight is going to come from Exodus, the 16th chapter, the 11th through the 31st verse. And I put the 12th through the 31st, but as I was studying, I had to go back to the 11th verse so that it would be very meaningful for you. And as always, I'm going to play a song. And once the song is played, we're going to come back and explore the word of God together. I don't know about you, but God is such a faithful God. And we just have to remember to be thankful. You know, one of the worst sins in the world is the sin of ingratitude. So as I play this song, and the name of the song is The Master Plan, as we explore the word tonight, we will see how God has a master plan for his people, just like he had plans for the Israelites, the Jewish nation. That's how he had plans for each and every one of our lives. So as you hear the song, just think about it and realize God has a master plan for you as well.
You're gone.
I hope that song was a little encouragement to someone out there. Because no matter where you are right now in your life, no matter what you may be going through or what you just went through, no matter what you are facing, we have to remember that God is in the middle of all of it, and he has a master plan for each of our lives. We have to remember that our trials and tribulations, our sadness, our adversities, you know, our sorrow, God uses the things in our lives to strengthen us, to mature us, and sometimes it's only a test. So I pray that you realize that God has a master plan for your life. And as we go in our lesson tonight and study the book of Exodus, last week we was in Genesis, so I decided to go to Exodus and go through the books of the Bible. And the title of our lesson is Where God Guides, He Also Provides. In saying that, when God has something for you to do or has asked you to do something or has granted something to you in favor, you know, some people start shaking in their boots and they don't understand. But you got to understand, if God asks you to do something, or God gave you a gift or a purpose, he has already provided the provisions for you to be able to accomplish it. Remember, God never sets you up to fail. And our lesson is coming out of Exodus 16. I had posted the 11th through the 31st verse, but those who have your Bible, go one verse up. And I had posted the 12th through the 31st verse, but I'm going to start because I thought it was necessary in the 11th verse through the 31st. Now, as always, I give background, and we're in the book of Exodus, and it's kind of centered around, of course, the children of Israel and their Exodus, but their leader was Moses. So I'm going to use Moses for tonight. You see, Moses was born to a Hebrew woman during the time when Pharaoh, the king, and Pharaoh only means king, Pharaoh was not his name. But when Pharaoh had ordered all male Hebrew boys to be killed, and he didn't want the girls to be killed. But Moses was born at that time. But you see, God's hand was on the lives of the Hebrew slaves because they had become slaves in Egypt. And even though they were slaves and in bondage and was persecuted and prosecuted and beaten and judged unfairly, they prospered. Hallelujah. You see, Pharaoh was afraid of their numbers because, you see, God was letting them multiply. Their cattle was multiplying. They were multiplying. And even though there was guests in Egypt due to Joseph, the king that favored Joseph had died. And the Hebrew numbers was growing in mass numbers. And it frightened the king. And he designed a way to stop their growth. You see, he said, kill. He told the midwives, if you going and you going to deliver a Hebrew child during birth, he said, if that child is a boy, I want you to kill him. But if it's a girl, let him live. He called the midwives in and said, this is what I want you to do. But the midwives honored God, and they wouldn't do it. And the Pharaoh brought them in and said, why are you not, you know, bringing, let me know that you're killing these Hebrew boys at birth. The midwife told him, she said, you see, the Hebrew women is more lively. That's what the Bible say, than the Egyptian women. And they go into labor, and before you know it, the baby comes out, and before we could even get there, the baby would have been born. You see, that was the story they told. They told the king. And if you read it in the Bible, you'll see that God favored them for that. The Bible said he gave them houses. Hallelujah. But you see, when Moses was born, Moses' mother noticed something special about him. and decide to place him in a basket and place him in the Nile River, hoping to save his life. And she sent a daughter to watch to see what would happen. Hallelujah. And when the baby was placed in a river and it went down the Nile, Pharaoh's daughter was out bathing. His daughter was bathing. And she saw the child. She fell in love with him. But watch the hand of God. She couldn't nurse him. You know, she couldn't go to Walgreens and get a bottle and go get some Similac or anything like that back in those days. So his sister who was watching stepped in and told Pharaoh's daughter she could get the Hebrew, she could get a Hebrew woman to do the job. Of course, Pharaoh's daughter agreed and said, bring one. And besides that, I'm going to pay them for their service. Of course, she went and got her mother. Come on, y'all. Here we see that God saved Moses. He delivered him from the hands of the Pharaoh. And on top of that, he was nursed by his own mother. And God provided provisions in the process. That is also God's plan for our lives. You see, wherever God guides us, he also provides for us. But we have to allow him to guide, and we learn how to follow. Hallelujah. You see, the word Exodus means to depart. You see, the book of Exodus is going to show you in God's timing. The exit of the Israelites from Egypt marked the end of a period of oppression for Abraham's descendants and the beginning of the fulfillment of the covenant promise to Abraham that his descendants would only live, will someday live in a promised land, but they would also multiply and become a great nation. That was the promise God made to Abraham in the book of Genesis. You see, the purpose of the book may be expressed as tracing the rapid growth of Jacob's descendants. Remember, Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob and Esau. Esau sold his birthright to Jacob, and Jacob became the heir, hallelujah, to Jacob's descendants from Egypt to the establishment of his chosen nation in their promised land that he had promised Abraham. You know, there's somewhere in the Bible that I read that God had told, you know, the children of Israel before they even got this far, for all of the disobedience that they had been doing over the period of time, God said, you know, it's just time for me to execute the promise that I gave to Abraham. What he was telling them is not that y'all doing so good or y'all so right or y'all earning the privilege or y'all going to receive the favor or the blessing because of your action. He said, but it's because of what I promised your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, sometimes we are living on the blessings of others. You know, sometimes people say, you know, my mama prayed for me. Hallelujah. You know, my daddy prayed for me. It was times in our lives when we weren't doing what we were supposed to do. We wasn't thinking like we should have thought. We wasn't going where we should have went. But in it all, God still found favor, still blessed us in the midst of. And as the children of Israel was receiving the promise that God promised to Abraham, so are you receiving the promises and the blessings from someone praying for you. You see, Exodus begins where Genesis leaves off as God deals with his chosen people, the Jews. Moses is the author of the book of Exodus, but he also authored it, Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible, which is called the Law and the Pentateuch. You see, it traces the events from the time Israel entered Egypt as guests of Joseph. Y'all remember there was famine in the land. Joseph's brothers had put him in a pit, and then they sold him to the Ishmaelites. And the Ishmaelites was really Ishmael's people, because Ishmael became a nation as well. You know, Ishmael was the lady that Abraham had the baby with, Sarah's maid servant. And Ishmael was very upset because he figured he was the firstborn, so he should have been the heir to the promise. But God told him, he said, I made a promise to bless Abraham's and Sarah's seed, not Abraham and Hagar's seed. So you guys have to remember these things to understand what God is doing, why he's doing it, and how he's doing it. You see, there was a guest of Joseph. Joseph was sold, and God had his hand on him, and Joseph became the second in command in Egypt, even though he was not an Egyptian. But when God got for you, it's for you. There was no food in the land, and Joseph's people came to buy land, and they realized that it was Joseph. Joseph was no more mad with them, even though his brothers had put him in a pit and then sold him into slavery. Because Joseph looked at him when they couldn't recognize him because he was all dolled up. Remember, he was the second in command in Egypt. And he looked at them and they looked at him and they couldn't tell and he couldn't take it anymore. And he said, it is I, Joseph, your brother. He said, but be not afraid. He said, because what you set up for my bad, God has turned it around for the good. And because of Joseph in a place that God had placed him, where God has guided him and had now provided for him, allowed him to save his people. Hallelujah. See, God is working it out for your good because he have a master plan. You see, but what happened, Joseph had a lot of favor in Egypt, but the Pharaoh that loved Joseph and respected Joseph had died. And this Pharaoh we talk about now, in the book of Exodus, was the one that took over. And all, you know, soon as you learn to play the game, the rule change, you know, soon, you know, sometime you might get a job under this administration change, and then, you know, all of the players change, and that's what happened. And this is where the Israelites, this is how they wind up. They became slaves, and they had to work. They used to make bricks. They used to bring them straw. They got so mad with them, the king told them, don't bring them no more straw. Let them go find their own straw, and I expect them to still have the same amount of bricks. That's oppression, y'all. But through it all, God had a master plan. You see, our lesson tonight is after the Jews entered the desert. You see, they were slaves in Egypt for 430 years, and God called Moses to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. Moses had led people for many years from Egypt. And I want you to know it was about 3 million people that left Egypt. And all of them wasn't Israelites because, you see, during that time and God did these 9 plagues and God showed how much he was with Moses and how much power he had that some of the Egyptians began to believe. And when the Israelites left, some of them left also with them. But it was 3 million. Can you imagine? People have a job and they manage 3 people and just complain. Moses had 3 million people with him when he left Egypt. You see, because the Israelites did not obey God while they were in the wilderness, you see, God did not lead them straight into the land he had promised. You see, the trip from Egypt to their new home, the promised land, should have only taken a couple of days. They wandered in the desert for 40 years. You know, first of all, God didn't want them to take the shortest route, because in the shortest route, they would face the Canaanites, and he figured if they faced the Canaanites, he knew you. He know your weaknesses. He figured they would turn around and go back to Egypt, so he took them another way. That's one of the reasons it took longer. And if you read, you'll find the other reason. You see, all of this, all through this, God provided everything. Them 430 years, they was in Egypt, he was providing for them. And while they was in the wilderness for 40 years, he was providing for them. See, God was giving them everything they needed, because where God guides, he also provides. You see, the very people who had been delivered out of Egypt by the mighty miracles soon mumbled and grumbled about God and his provisions for them. God say none of these grumblers will enter the promised land. After wandering 40 years, the entire generation of the Israelites who were delivered from slavery over the age of 21 died, except Joshua and Caleb, because they trusted God and they gave a good report. It was the children who were born during the wilderness years who were now left. And by this time, Moses was 100 years old. And it's not going to be touched in a lesson tonight, but I encourage that you continue to read in the books of Exodus. You're going to see that Moses wasn't allowed to get to the promised land for a disobedient act. His brother, who was a Levite priest, wasn't allowed in the promised land for a disobedient act. But you got to remember, I like to say Moses was God's boy. You know, God loved Moses. The Bible say that Moses was buried with God on hand, and that his body will never be found even until this day, January the 11th, through all eternity. So when the archaeologists get on CNN or whatever and tell you they done found the bones of Moses or Moses' grave, you don't have to believe it. So if we go in our lesson tonight, Exodus 16 chapter, I'm going to read the 11th through the 15th verse. And I went back to the 11th because they say, and the Lord said to Moses. When I started reading, I wanted you to know who said what to who. And the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh. You see, what had happened, God had given a mammon. After a while, they got tired. You know how your appetite don't want you to eat the certain things and you want a different taste and so on. And so they, even though their belly was full every day, they didn't work for it. Come on, y'all. They didn't have to go and grow the wheat and then you know, get it out the field and grind it and do everything. All they had to do was pick it up, because God provided bread from heaven. And they weren't satisfied, but they wanted meat. So he said, so people told Moses, Moses told God, and this is God's answer. And I'm going to go back up again. And God said to Moses, I have heard the mumbling of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even, he's saying evening, in the evening ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even, which is evening, the quails came up and covered the camp, the quail, a bird. And in the morning, the dew laid round about the host. And when the dew that laid was gone, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, let me go back, And when the dew that laid was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoar, frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. For they wist not what it was. They knew not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. Now, you see, that's where we're at right now. You see, here we see the children of Israel mumbling, and it wasn't the first time. Their food supply was running out, and they complained to Moses, saying, God could have left us in Egypt to die, then taken us out here in the wilderness to starve. One time they wasn't having their way, and they told Moses that God act like there was no graves in Egypt, that he had to come and bring them in the desert to be buried in the wilderness. Old people could complain now. And that's why we must check ourselves, because God master plan for our lives, and where he guides, he provides. You trust him, let him lead you, and then just keep it moving. You see, in the Old Testament, God dwelt among his people. You know, the people spoke to Moses as the intercessor, and Moses spoke to God on behalf of the people. And God spoke to Moses for the people. Now watch this. This is a foreshadowing, because in the New Testament, God dwells inside his people by his spirit. And Jesus is speaking to God as he sat on the right hand of the Father on our behalf as our intercessor. Come on, y'all. Jesus didn't come to abolish the Old Testament, but to fulfill it. See, Moses was a good intercessor, but Jesus is one far more better. You see? And God speaks to his people through his spirit. The people spoke to Moses. Moses went to God. God spoke to Moses. Moses went to the people. Now we pray to the Father. Jesus intercede on our behalf, and our answer come through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Isn't the Bible real? Man couldn't put nothing together like that. Remember, all of this complaining was after the miraculous provisions by God. God's sovereignty and powerful hand is seen in the miracles of the plague. You know, he did the 9 the plagues against the King Pharaoh to let his people go, and ending with the plague of the death of the firstborn and the institution of the Passover. Come on, y'all. You know, with the Passover, when God told Moses after Pharaoh's going to let y'all go, and it was going to be in haste, but you take a lamb, a sacrificial lamb without spots and blemishes, and you kill that lamb. You take that blood and you put it over the doorposts on the left and the right. He said, and you eat that lamb, what's left. Don't leave anything. Hallelujah. You see, that was the first Passover. Jesus is our Passover. Because of Jesus' death, blood, death, burial, and resurrection, the death angel will have to pass over us, because we cover with the blood of Jesus. You see, they had saw Jesus, God, do all this, the 9 plagues and the Passover, and he parted the Red Sea and the destruction to the Egyptian army. All his complaining was after that, y'all. Here we see where God's guide, he provides. But even though he gave them bread from heaven, meat from the sky, sweet water from bitter, he let water at another time come from a rock, He gave them victory over those who wanted to destroy him. He wrote his law on a tablet of stone by his own hand, and he allowed his presence in the form of a pillar of fire. Come on, y'all. Where he guided them at night. In a cloud in the daytime, the people continue to mumble and grumble and rebelled against him. It seemed like no matter what God did for them, it was never enough. Sometimes some people we know and sometimes we ourselves in our lives, we could see the hand of God over everything and we still have a pity party. We still want to worry about something we can't control. We still do things that we know we shouldn't do. But through it all, God still had his hand on them. Here we see what is truly meant by daily bread. See, God wanted them to receive it daily because he want to know he will provide for you daily. You know, when we say the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. You have to understand, God is saying, I'm going to take care of you today. And tomorrow is not even promised. And if you hear tomorrow going to have his problem, the problems of his own. He's trying to teach us rest, but we can't do it because we got our hand over everything. We allow our mind to be filled with everything. We allow the Satan to place fear in our heart. And then, you know, we can't look up because we're too busy looking down. You see, God is showing us how he will supply our daily needs. Yet we still find things to complain about. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read the 16th verse all the way to the 22nd verse. And the verse read as, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Gather of every man. Now, God is supplying it, but he told him how he want to do it. And this is what he's saying now. He said, gather it of every man according to his eating. Now, that's he saying, you know, gather everyone according to how much you eat. You know, some people eat more, some eat less. He said, but, you know, gather enough that you know how you like to eat. Now how good is that? You know how you go somewhere and they might have a party and somebody's scooping the food and it's not enough? But God said, gather of it every man, hallelujah, according to his eating, an omer for every man. Now, omer is just was a measurement. It's like, I don't remember, it was like, some. It's a measurement that they used back then. And he was telling them every man to get, you know, at least that amount, according to the number of persons in your household, what he's saying. Take ye every man for them which are in your tent. He said, now you come and you gather. You get enough that everybody's going to be full and satisfied. Not just you, but everybody in your tent. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it with the omer, the measurement, he that gathered much had nothing left over, because that's what God wanted. God is not a wasteful God. And he wants you to get just what you need, because he promised to give you what you need, not always what you want. But he said, those who gathered much had nothing left over, and he that gathered little had no lack. Hallelujah. They gathered every man according to his eating. In verse 19, and Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Moses told him, God said, don't try to take none, none and put it up. He said, what, I'm going to give it to you daily. That should be enough. But you know how man is. So Moses told him, let no man leave it till the morning. Now guess what happened? In verse 20, notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. What this is saying, even though Moses told them that, some of them took more. Why? They didn't trust. They didn't have faith. They took more and put it on the side in case some wasn't there in the morning. Come on, y'all. But some of them left it until the morning, and it breed worms and stink. Probably got maggots. That was probably the worms. You see, he told them, don't take none. You know, eat it all. Be satisfied. Go to sleep in the morning. We're going to give you more. But you see, they couldn't trust that. So they took some and they put it in their tent or wherever they was living, and they tried to hold it till the morning, because if they'd have woke up and none was there. And Moses was, you know, really angry with them. You know, he was wroth with them, the scripture said. And 21 said, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, everything that was left, it said, it melted. And 22 said, and it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much. Instead of getting one omer, they got two, one for every man. And all the rulers of the congregations came and told Moses. Now, God told them, this is what I want you to do, and this is how I want you to do it. And he told them, don't take none for tomorrow. And they did take some, and they made Moses angry. And then Moses said, this is another part of God's master plan. Now, you take enough for 6 days, but on the seventh day, on the sixth day, take double. Because you're not going to go out and get it on the seventh day, because the seventh day we're going to see is the Sabbath. You see, here God is teaching us how not to be greedy. Take as much as you need for you and your family, and trust me for tomorrow. Can we go through the day trusting God for tomorrow? Here we see that their lack of trust and greed. Here we see their lack of trust and their greed. Let me tell you something. If you truly trust, you won't be greedy. And if you are greedy, you could never trust. You see, everything that is gained by greed will never last, because there will never be no satisfaction. You know, that's why with some people, you have to ask the question, how much is enough? Because a greedy person can never be full, and there is never enough. And we go to our last scriptures, which is going to start at the 23rd and going to go through the 30th. And the scripture reads, and it said, and he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath. Bake that which ye will bake today, and see that it will see it, and that which remaineth overlay for you to be kept until morning. He said, get double portion, cook double portion, eat the portion for the day, save the rest for tomorrow, because tomorrow is going to be the Sabbath, and the Sabbath I want you to rest. And they laid it up until the morning, as Moses blade, which means as Moses said, and they did not stink. So they kept the double portion for the next day, and because what they had seen when the maggots and everything came, when they had taken it out of disobedience, not as God had planned it. So they, you know, probably some of them probably couldn't sleep at night, because they thought when they got up, the part that they saved was stink, but it did not stink. Neither were there any worms therein. And Moses said, eat that today, For today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather, and on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. You know, it word, some people think about it, y'all. And it came to pass that they were supposed to even stay in the house. But what they did when they woke up, and it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. Maybe some of the people who were scared to keep, to get it, the extra, thought it would spoil. So maybe they didn't get none, so they went out on the seventh day, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my law? You know, after God saw this, he said, what more I have to do? How long? And I guess that's what he's saying to some of us. How long you going to try to do it your way? And you're going to refuse my commandments and my law? And 29 says, see, for that the Lord has given you a Sabbath. The Lord has given you, watch that word, y'all, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit down. The Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he giveth you on the sixth day the bread for 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, saying, don't even come outside. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. You see what he said in 29? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called the name thereof Mamma. And the Mamma, it was like seeds. It was white, and it had the taste of it, and the taste of it was like a wafer made with honey. If you ever wonder by Mamma, God is letting you know right now what it looked like and what it tasted like and what was its purpose and what he was doing for him and how he was providing for him. You see, when you look at that word Sabbath and this little explanation I'm going to give you, I had to do a little research, and the best thing I decided to use, for those who have your ink pen, write down Mark, the second chapter, the 27th through the 28th verse. Mark, the 27th through the 28th verse. And it reads as follows. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. People got so much confusion about the seventh day. God himself said in verse 29 in above scriptures, he said, for today, here it go, 29. See, for that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. And then if Mark backs it up, that's the Old Testament, and Mark says, and he said unto them, Jesus, this is Jesus teaching, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath unto God. You see, when Jesus was teaching about the Sabbath, you know, Jesus had did some things that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes had got really upset about. One time he allowed his disciples to eat corn in a field, and it was the Sabbath. And because of that, you know, they was thinking about killing him. But Jesus saying, you know, the man, Sabbath was made for the man. He said, but let's not get it twisted. Let's not be foolish in the things that we do. But when you read and the Bible say that the Sabbath was made for man, God is blessing us with a day of rest. You know, in our day and time, some people have to work to provide for their families and their job. They have to work on the Sabbath. But even if you have to go to work on the Sabbath, the day of the Sabbath was for rest and meditation on God. You could thank God for the job that you have. You could ask God to give you another job where you don't have to work on Sunday. You know, you could do a lot of things what the intent of the Sabbath was for. People take things out of context and they want to stick so strict till they lose the purpose. Another time when Jesus healed somebody, the man at the pool of Bethesda, and it happened, he did it on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees sought out to kill him, Jesus, because he did it. You know, they even asked the man, why did this happen on the Sabbath? He said, a man, you know, heal me. Like, you know, I'm just grateful. You know, because they start questioning the man about who was the man that did it. You know, Jesus said, if your horse or your cattle falls in a ditch and is on the Sabbath, do it make sense to let them stay there and die? See, we have to use our common sense and ask the Holy Ghost to give us wisdom about these things that we are taking out of context, and some people are getting real confused about it and all of these things. Remember, that's what the scripture said, that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God always required us to rest by separating ourselves from the time of the world and concentrate on the things of God. You know, if your time of separation is on a Wednesday, then you separate yourself. God is asking for the time. He's not all that concerned about the date. It is a set-aside day, and we do it on Sunday. The Jews, they do it on another day. They do it from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. And they, you know, they haven't even accepted Jesus Christ as the Savior, and yet they won't cut the lights on in their house. Go figure. See, we have to understand the things of God and what God has done for us and what God wants from us. And God wants us to put things in its proper place, and he don't want us to always be held down by these isms of religion and this and the law and this and that and that and this. Understand what God said. I want you to rest. And everybody do need rest. You see, in his teaching on the Sabbath, he wanted us to know that the Sabbath was one of his many blessings for us, a time of rest and to reflect. You see, the above scripture said that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. God has outlined how his provision will be met on a day of rest. He told them, don't come outside. Get enough that Saturday, get enough on the sixth day and use it for the seventh day. He told them all of that. And yet some didn't believe. They went on searching, but they found none. They didn't realize that God had provided and all that they had to do was rest. Come on, y'all. And when they went and got the mammoth the 6 days, they didn't grow it. They didn't pay for it. Shoot. All they had to do was rest. Can you rest in the things of God and what God is doing for you and how God has showed up in your life? And you know, if he did it before, he'll do it again. And if he did it for the Israelites and he did it for the children of Israel, and he did it for Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and hallelujah, and Solomon, and Job, and even Adam and Eve. And God has no respect to person. That's also how God want to work in and through your life. You got to get with the program, or the program is going to get you. You see, just like the children of Israel, we don't know how to enter into rest. God is supplying our needs. And yet we can't rest. And most of the time it's because a lack of trust, fear, and a lack of faith. And as I close tonight, we ought to trust in God. He has saved us from the power of death through his son. And if he don't do no more, you know, that's really enough that all of us going to have an eternal life and not die and go to the pits of hell for eternal damnation. He has already saved us from the power of death. He has taken out the sting of death. If you believe and you trust and you accept his son. You see, he can deliver us from anything and everything. And whatever he asks you to do or whatever he asks you to say or wherever he asks you to go, if he asks you to do this, the provisions is already provided. He never set you up to fail. But God does not allow the sins in our lives to go unpunished forever. You see, the disobedience for the children of Israel, instead of being a few days' journey, they wandered for 40 years. Come on, y'all. And many times they went and subdued the land, but if you look at the history, the land was taken back. And you know, the war in Jerusalem right now is called a holy war. Because when God told them they was going to take the land from the Canaanites was Canaan, who was Noah's son. Noah had three sons. And one of them was cursed. And that was Ham. And the curse fell on his grandson, which was Canaan. And that's where the Canaanite nation came from. That's who the Canaanites are. The Canaanites was on the land. But God said he was going to give it to his promised people. And probably, I'm not saying, well, probably that was a part of the curse that he had received. You know, a lot of people say that that's the curse that has been placed on black people. But that's not so. Don't believe it. But he was cursed, and the Canaanites were living on the land that the Israelites went and took over. And it was the Philistines. And you got to remember, Ishmael was angry as well because he was Abraham's firstborn, but he didn't receive the promise. And Ishmael became the Ishmaelites, which is the Arab nation. Put it together, y'all. The Philistines, the Arabs, it's always been a war. And that's part of what's going on in Jerusalem right now, and you can see the history unfold. But you see, as a result of all of that, we can trust God in his retribution towards of us because he's going to get justice. And even in him chastising us is for our good. Because God said, if I don't chastise you, you're a bastard because you're not mine. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. And God chastised us with a loving hand. And even though the Israelites was wandering for their disobedience for 40 years, God gave them food to eat, water to drink. Their shoes never wore out. Hallelujah. And the scriptures say their feet never got swole. Come on, y'all. And when they left out of Egypt, he told them, go to all the Egyptians. He said, y'all going to leave. He said, but before you leave, he said, you go to the Egyptians. He said, because I'm going to be done worked it out, and they scared now. And you ask them for whatever you want. So when God brought them out of slavery and God delivered them out of the hands of Pharaoh and they were gone in the wilderness to a land. They didn't know where they was going, but God had promised. He didn't leave them walk out empty-handed. God will never send you anywhere empty-handed. Trust him. Trust him. When God makes a demand on us, he expects us to comply. But at the same time, he provides grace and mercy. See, in the wilderness, he was still giving them grace and mercy in the midst of their disobedience. Because he know that on our own, we will not be able to fully obey. Hallelujah. And that's our lesson for tonight. And I don't think I have 1 minute. God gave me this minute for y'all now. And even after God did all of that, and I talked about this scripture, talking about the mumbling and grumbling, and I just told you that when they left out of Egypt, God told them to ask for anything they wanted, and they gave them clothes and gold and silver and you know, the things that were worth really, really a lot. God gave them all of that. They didn't leave out of Egypt empty-handed. And when Moses went on Mount Sinai and he stayed with God a little longer than they thought he should, and when Moses came back, they had took all of the Jews that God has given them from the Egyptians, and they made a golden calf to worship. They made an idol god. And yet, you can see how the story ends. God did give them the promised land because he had promised Abraham. And if God say it, not in your timing, not how you might want it, not even why you want it, but if God said it, he is able and willing to do it. And if he said it and it doesn't come true, then he would be a liar. And God cannot fail and he cannot lie. That's our program for tonight. I pray that everybody had something that they could use. At this time, if anybody would like to make comments or say anything, you could press the one button on your phone. If you want to give encouragement, if you need to ask for a blessing, you could press the one button on your phone. If God ever did anything for you and you want to share it with somebody, you could press the one button on your phone. Well, since it's now 9:30, no buttons has been pressed. And I just had prayed before we came on the air, so we didn't go into a prayer in the beginning, but we must pray as we end. And I did pray, you guys. I didn't do it on the air, but I was prayerful before we came on the station. So if nobody would like to pray, I'm going to go ahead and pray. And we're going to conclude our lesson tonight. If you ever want to know God, you got to go to the Old Testament. You know, in the New Testament, when Jesus speaks, it's in red writing. In the Old Testament, when God speaks, it said, thus saith the Lord. I just want to say God is wonderful to his people. And when I see, you know, scriptures like this and you study them and you realize how good God is to his people. Hallelujah. The promises that he has made to his people. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Lord, I enter your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity that you allowed us to come together to explore your word. Lord, we know and we pray that your word don't return void. Lord, I thank you for the Bible, the 66 books where you show us examples on how you have always loved on your people, which allow us to know how you love on us. I thank you for showing me the examples in the Bible. Some of them I realize what I need to do, and some of them I can look at their life and see what I shouldn't do. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you for your everlasting arms. I thank you for your protection. I thank you for your deliverance. Hallelujah. See, when you deliver them, that lets us know that you are a deliverer. And you save them. That lets us know that you did send a Savior for us as well. Lord, and all I could do is say thank you. Lord, if I had 10,000 tongues, I still wouldn't be able to thank you enough. And as I speak for myself, dear God, if you don't do anything else for me, Lord, you have done enough. Lord, I am grateful. Because they say one of the worst sins in the world is the sin of ingratitude. And I thank you for every opportunity you allow me to share your word one with another, because you said in your word that that's our job and that's a part of the Father's business that he wants us to take care of. And Lord, in your word you say the more we speak of you to others, the more of you you will give to us. And I thank you for this opportunity. Continue to use me, dear God. Heavenly Father, please continue to bless us, each and every one of us, in a blessing that we in need of. Lord, I ask that you bless each home that's represented here tonight, dear God. Bless the homes that maybe wanted to call, maybe forgot, dear God. Bless the homes of the ones that you're going to send to the program, dear God. Bless each and every one of us. Look down upon our president, dear God, as he leaves the White House. Lord, let his life be fulfilling to him, and let it be for what he wanted to be, dear God. And thank you for the time you allowed him to be in there. And thank you for the protection that you had on his life, dear God. And thank you that he didn't make you shame, dear God. And us as a people, thank you. Lord, with the new administration coming in, we know you are in control. Have your way with it, dear God. Look down on the people's health, dear God, because there are sick people all over. More and more people getting sick each day, and more people are dying because of sickness. But God, you have a master plan. And all I can do is say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for the Son. And thank you for your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank God. That's our program for tonight. And I thank each and every one of you that took time from your busy schedule and tuned in. I want you to know that if God be for you, who could be against you? I want you to also know that trust the Lord and learn how to enter into rest. And remember, wherever God guides you, he has already attached the provisions for you. And that's it for tonight. God loves you, and so do I. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll meet next week, same time, same number. Be blessed, and good night.